I thought that since we are approaching year end, it would be a very good time to take a look at tax moves that you can make right now to reduce your 2019 taxes. I mean, we're here in December and we've only got a couple of weeks left. So let's see what you can learn right now in order to save you some taxes next year. I have asked Rachel Sheedy to join me. Rachel is an editor for Kiplinger's Retirement Report, and she's written some articles on this in particular. So we're going to talk to her right now. Hey, welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. So before the new year arrives, as I said, it's time to take a look at some last-minute moves we can use to trim our taxes. First of all, between 2018 and 2019, are there a lot of changes or is it kind of business as usual?
There are not that many changes, which is a good thing. It makes it a little easier to look for tax-saving moves. You can refer back to your tax return for 2018 to kind of get an idea of where you might look to save some money for 2019. So yeah, it makes it a little easier that it's pretty similar.
All right. Well, that's good. Everything changes so much these days.
Well, it did in recent years, so
it's kind of a relief that everything's going to kind of be the same as last year. It's such
a rare
occurrence. All right. So your first tip is the easy stuff, you know, estimating your 2019 tax tab by adding up all your taxable income streams. Now, people may laugh when I say all your taxable income streams. They go, well, you know, I got one, I got two, but some people have more.
Some people do, particularly retirees might have pension income, Social Security benefits, distributions from retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. Many retirees are surprised actually how much taxable income they end up with in retirement. So you do want to make sure you grab all of them in your calculation.
Yeah. So once you have a good idea of all of the revenue, so to speak, if you think of yourself as a company, mm-hmm. what revenue have I brought in? Now you have to kind of subtract and look at the tax breaks that you know you will use.
Exactly. Yeah, you kind of want to tote all those up, sort of see where you stand, things that you know that you might want to make use of. People who are 70 and a half and older can take advantage of the qualified charitable distribution move to sort of mitigate tax on their RMD money. So if you know you're going to use that, you want to account for that first and then sort of see where you stand and then start looking for other moves, see if you've got any other options to turn your tax down.
You want to see whether you're going to qualify for the standard deduction or are you going to use the standard deduction?
Yes, that is a key part of the calculation because the moves you make could be very different if you are taking a standard deduction or if you're going to be itemizing.
Yeah.
And you might also want to look over not just this year, but sort of consider this year, next year, maybe even 3 years down the line, because maybe you want to take the standard deduction this year, but you want to itemize next year. You might want to push some deductions year or another.
If you can, if you have the ability to delay deductions or accelerate them, you can make a decision as to what to do. Now, how much is for a single taxpayer and for married filing jointly, what are the amount of the deductions?
Well, for 2019, the standard deduction is $12,200 for single taxpayers and $24,400 for taxpayers who are married and filing jointly.
Okay.
Of course, for people who are 65 or older, they can add an extra amount to that standard deduction. So for spouses, each spouse who's 65 or older can add an extra $1,300 to that standard deduction amount. And singles who are 65 plus can add $1,650. And then there's also, you can add a standard deduction if you're blind as well. So that amount, those standard deduction amounts, that they doubled a couple years ago, that they're pretty high
these
days. So, so many people aren't itemizing anymore or they're on the cusp. So again, as we mentioned, you know, if you accelerate or you push off deductions, you know, you might have enough to itemize them 1 year, but may not have enough to do it for 2 years.
Right.
So you can sort of, you know, really play with your tax strategy.
Yeah. So the standard deduction for couples is 24,400, which is double the 12,200.
Yeah.
And yet one spouse may not be making enough to qualify, but you're getting the benefit of it because it's filing jointly. So the other person perhaps can have more stuff they can kind of use it for.
Right.
So there's some kind of advantage. Now, you want to also avoid underpayment penalties, and this is important.
Yes.
Because you're required to pay estimated taxes, most retired people do, and most self-employed people do, of course. Tell us about what you need to do to avoid paying penalties.
Yeah. So, and this is something I think some people got a shock for their 2018 returns. because they didn't have enough withheld and things were sort of a little crazy. And the IRS gave people for 2018 a break. And experts are telling me do not expect that same break for 2019. So you really do need to make sure that you are double checking that you are paying enough in tax for 2019 before the year ends.
Now, if your tab is less than 1,000, you don't really have to worry about it.
Exactly. So that's a key number. And there's another way you can sort of avoid it is, you know, if you make sure that you paid at least 100%, or if you're a high income taxpayer, 110% of your 2018 tax bill, that will ensure that you don't have to worry about underpayment penalties. Or you can pay at least 90% of your 2019 tax tab. So you'll need to make sure your projections are pretty accurate. At this time of year, they will be more accurate than if you were looking at this in, you know, say, March or April.
I have a question. Hang on. So let's say that you pay 100% of what you paid in 2018.
Yeah.
But you got some kind of a big bonus or something in 2019. Will that 100% cover you and help you avoid being penalized?
Yeah, if you paid at least 100% or 110% of your 2018 tax bill, you should be safe and you'll avoid the underpayment penalty.
Okay, good.
Yeah, if you haven't done that, then you need to pay some tax on that big lump sum that you're getting.
Yeah, so with the year end so close, your tax estimate for 2019 should be fairly accurate. I mean, you should really know by this point all the money that's coming in, so you can be more precise, so less room for error. All right, so let's talk about ways to trim this 2019 tax bill before the calendar flips to the next year. I'll start you off. The first thing you can do is, you know, do your 401k. Make sure that you do the full amount of your 401k. Take us through those machinations.
Yeah, so employer retirement accounts, those contributions have to be made by year end, so by December 31st. So it's 401ks and that type of account. And you can stash up to $19,000 into a 401k by the end of the year for 2019. But if you're 50 and older, if you turn 50 anytime this year, you can put in extra money. And for 401ks and employer plans, that's $6,000 extra for 2019.
Okay.
So that's $25,000 total that you could put away pre-tax for 2019.
All right, so that's important. Every dollar is a direct deduction from your adjusted gross income, and you're saving directly the taxes based on your tax bracket. There is really very little else people can do these days, right?
It is much harder. There is very limited options for trimming your tax tab.
Yeah, that's so true.
But you can, you know, there's IRAs if you qualify for deductible contributions. If you don't qualify for deductible contributions, you can still do non-deductible, or you might consider doing a Roth contribution, which will not help you right now, but it will help you in the future to save taxes.
Roths are wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're a wonderful way. I mean, if you don't need the tax deduction now, but you want to have your money grow tax-free and in the future date not have to pay when you withdraw it, it's a wonderful vehicle. The issue is that a lot of people with high incomes can never do a Roth IRA. But it is very valuable for those with moderate incomes, right?
Well, yeah, they can't do Roth contributions, but anybody with any income amount can do Roth conversion. If you don't qualify for the contribution, and again, this is a tax trimming move for the future, not for today, because with Roth conversions, you do have to pay tax.
That's
on the amount you convert.
Right, nothing is free.
But the benefits really in the future, and particularly for retirees who might be subject to Medicare premium surcharges or tax on their Social Security benefits, having that stash of, you know, tax-free income can be really key.
Can be very key. Yeah. There's another thing too, and that is the time value of money. Make your IRA contributions at the beginning of the year so you have a full year of tax deferral as opposed to making them at the end of the year, because a lot of people say, well, I'll just wait, I'll make it last minute, but you'd be smarter if you can make it in January, let's say for 2020,
right,
than December, because you've missed a whole year of tax deferred compounding.
Yeah, that's true. And I think some people put it off because IRAs, you can save money on your 2019 tax tab. I mean, if you can make deductible contributions, but you actually can, you know, put away that money as late as the mid-April tax filing deadline. Mm-hmm. So I think some people do wait
late
because of that delayed deadline. But you're correct that if you can put it in at the beginning of the year, you get that whole year of tax deferral.
It makes a big difference. And all you're doing is you're just taking money from one account. If you're taking savings and you're just moving it over to another account. So it's just a simple conversion or a transaction to move money from one to another, but you're getting significant benefits by doing that. Let's talk about health savings accounts very quickly.
Yep.
You can contribute up to $3,500. Okay, so everybody kind of knows that if you work for an employer that has a health savings plan, you can make this up to $3,500 contribution. What if you're retired? Can you have an HSA?
Well, you have to have a high deductible health plan, whether it's through an employer or private insurance. Once you're on Medicare, you can no longer contribute to an HSA. There's some legislation in Congress that they're trying to change that, but who knows when that will happen. So once you're on Medicare, you need to not contribute anymore, but you can still use the money that's within the account. So if you're retired and you're pre-65, you might have an opportunity to still save in a health savings account mm-hmm. if you choose a high deductible health plan. And it's great if you have the opportunity to build up that account. Again, you'll save money on taxes now if you contribute to that health savings account, but you can also save money on taxes in the future with that stash. So it is definitely something to look at as an opportunity.
Yeah, it's the one vehicle where you kind of do get the benefit of both, because you're getting the deduction when you fund the HSA.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend the money, if you use it for the appropriate medical purposes, you don't have to pay taxes on it. So it's really a very attractive thing that you can do. I want to switch gears here, because for those that are over 70 and a half that, you know, don't qualify for other deductions but are charitably inclined, there is something pretty important that you can do. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's the Qualified Charitable Distribution Move, QCD, what it's sort of commonly known as. And it's a move that became, it had been around for a number of years, but it wasn't made permanent until just a couple years ago. So you have to be 70 and a half or older. You have to be qualified to take required minimum distributions.
Yeah.
But if you meet that age requirement, you can directly transfer from your IRA to charity up to $100,000.
Yeah.
And that money that you transfer to charity can count toward your RMD. And that money will not show up in your adjusted gross income. So mm-hmm. it's great for people who are no longer itemizing and, you know, charitably inclined. They can still essentially get a tax break for giving money to charity by doing the qualified charitable distribution move. But it's also actually good for itemizers too. So if you are still one of those people itemizing, because it does not, the QCD does not show up in your AGI, any tax break that's based off thresholds that are, you know, tied to AGI, you might qualify for because your AGI is lower by doing the QCD. So it's something to look at no matter how you know, if you do standard deductions or itemize, take a look at it if you qualify.
And for all intents and purposes, with the elimination of a lot of the itemizing,
mm-hmm.
people really can't get a deduction on their charitable contributions anymore.
Yeah, it's really hard. You know, if you no longer have, say, mortgage interest, which is a big tax deduction for many people, you would have to make a lot of charitable deductions to surpass the standard deduction amount. So this qualified charitable distribution move allows you to, you know, still sort of get a tax break and give to charity at the same time, which, you know, a good thing. Most people want to try to do that.
Yeah. So if you're charitably inclined, there's no question that this QCD is a very, very good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of the kind of the tried and true methods. First of all, harvesting your losses.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people have losses in their portfolio. I mean, it's inevitable if you have, you know, a diversified portfolio.
Right.
That you're going to have some losses. But a lot of people like to hang on to their losses and sell their gains, which is kind of the opposite of what you should be doing.
Sure. Yes, exactly.
You know, it's like cutting your good flowers in the garden and, you know, letting the weeds grow. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
I think some people are optimistic and think,
and they're optimistic. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That sucker's coming back. I know it.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But a loss has value. That's kind of an asset.
Yes.
In a sense, because that amount of the loss can be used as a qualified or a verifiable deduction. And you can save taxes on it. And then 31 days later, you can buy it back. So your only risk is that you're out of that thing for 30 days or 31 days.
Yeah, you do need to watch for that wash sale rule, as it's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, the stock market has been going gangbusters for a number of years at this point. So some people might not think to look for losses. But it's true, if you're with a diversified portfolio, not everything goes up when the market goes up. So it's definitely something to scour your portfolio for it. And see if you can take advantage of those losers.
Well, that's how you know your portfolio is diversified.
Mm-hmm.
If everything is going up together, guess what, guys? You are not diversified.
That's a good point.
You need some things yinging and yanging so you can look at your portfolio and, you know, kind of in a very surface way, determine whether you've got some diversification here. But you're right. With the market being up so much as we air this show anyway, because you never know what's going to happen, then, you know, most investors really have pretty significant gains this year. But if you look closely, you will, in fact, find some losses. I'm sure of it. My guest, Rachel Sheedy from Kiplinger's Retirement Report. And today we were discussing year-end moves that you can make for your 2019 taxes, looking a little bit ahead to 2020, looking at some charitable things that you can do. And thank you so much for joining us, Rachel.
Thank you for having me.
And remember, everybody, that we love to educate our listeners, and we continue to remind you that we love to get your questions, because we really do. So come to our website at stevepomerantz.com, go to the contact section and write us a question. If you have any, we will answer that question. We make every effort to do so. And also, while you're there, you can sign up for our weekly update, where you can get right into your mailbox every single week what we call the WOO, the weekly update, which gives you every single segment, transcripts if you'd rather read than listen, a summary if you just want a quick idea of what's going on, and then, of course, a way to contact us with your questions. Go to stevepomerantz.com, P-O-M-E-R-A-N-Z. Skip the T, go right to the Z, stevepomerantz.com, and we would love to hear from you. www.stevepomerantz.com.